Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy, and we're your partners in crime, wine, and time. And we got a doozy of a case that's close to home for me today, so I'm excited for that.
Very close. I don't know what it is with Jersey, but I do feel like a lot of shit goes down there.
A lot of shit goes down here, not even crime, just like literal shit goes down here. Like, there are sometimes I'm driving down the parkway and I'm like, what am I smelling right now? Where am I and what's going on?
True. Exactly. I do feel like the crimes that happened in New York, like some of them are interesting. Like we had the Black Widow of Manhattan, but a lot of it is just like your regular run of the mill stuff. No witch cults. So that's no fun.
Because you know what? There's not a lot of outdoor space in New York. I feel that location. Like if you got a gorgeous brownstone, you can't have like cult sessions. You can just embezzle money, which is...
Right. That's why you have to go to upstate or like Long Island to get your haunted or your spooky occult stuff.
They don't tell you about that on Street Easy. And that's actually an important fact. I also, because this is a Jersey-based case, I did get a Dunkin' before this. So.
Oh, I love that for you.
I love an excuse to get a Dunkin' no matter what.
Same. My like treat is always to get like the caramel swirl, which is like a bajillion calories but tastes amazing. So
that shit is so good. Dunkin' gets underappreciated with how good their like side drinks are. You know what I mean? Like not their standard coffee, because everyone of course thinks of a Starbucks, a peppermint mocha, all that jazz. But a Dunkachino,
so good.
That is so good. And that was my childhood. That's I still don't fit into jeans because of the Dunkachinos I consumed in seventh grade. Talking to the cross moms, like that's home
pretty much.
Yeah,
Dunkin' Donuts was definitely my gateway into coffee.
Yeah, well, because it's
and
my,
then
it's
I never left it because I was like, it turns out I don't actually really like coffee that much.
And also because it's, I'm like, it's like one of those like snob things where everyone's like, I can't drink Dunkin' anymore. It's so like light and doesn't. I'm like, because it doesn't taste burnt. I'm like, what's the issue with that?
And right, it's like doesn't. I'm home it doesn't taste relaxed. Like you put out cigarettes in the coffee, like.
So did not realize I'm holding the microphone upside down. I'm also wired. I have not showered in 2.5 days, I want to say.
Impressive.
The hair is Medusa. So if I turn a man to stone, it's because I haven't showered. So that's just that.
Right. And not because of your personality.
Never. I'm a Dunkachino like in form. I'm truly just, I'm hot. I'm chocolate with some coffee mixed together. I'm sweet and I'll pep you up. Truly. What's better than that?
That is true. Objectively. Okay.
I'll DM them. I'll talk with them. I just want to get the recipe down and everything like that. But before we get into the case that we're going to talk about, we have some headline hunters.
Yes.
And this first one, because I read about it because I feel like it kind of, the storyline came at us so fast because people were posting about it in the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group. And also I was just seeing it like all over Twitter. This 26-year-old Instagram influencer, Alexis Sharkey, was found dead on the side of the road in Texas, like, which is just awful. And she was found like just left for dead, naked. And no one really knows why. No one totally knows the story behind it. And it kind of just, because I said it came up, it happened so fast because I think it was like on Friday, it was the reports that she was missing. And everyone was kind of trying to like red alerts. And I believe she was a part of Monat. So,
yes.
So a lot of the people that work or the people in that company were posting about her too. So it kind of caught on more national attention through that. And then she was found just a few days later. And it's so insane. No one totally knows what yet, but I feel like this is a story that's going to keep having updates because the mom wants justice. of course, like the police are getting involved and everything like that. So I'm just really curious. I have no clue what happened.
Yeah, I honestly am not going to lie to you guys. I haven't read up on it yet, but that's my weekend reading. It's really sad. So I don't know. I mean, hopefully we'll get answers. It's always really sad when like cases like this are unfolding in real time.
I know, that's the insane thing, like seeing how it like starts to finish and just like the flurry of media outlets about it.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting that you said you're going to read about it this weekend because you're not going to be reading books that are sent to you.
I'm not going to read books that are sent to me. This is a true story. One of my friends, like right after we did that whole, you know, sidebar thing about the Secret Sister gift exchange, one of my friends DM'd me and it was like, hey, do you want to join a book exchange with my friends? And I was like, sure, I'm down. Like I have a million books I need to get rid of anyway. But then upon a little bit of probing, I was like, do you know everyone in the exchange? And he was like, no. And it just kind of came out. I was like, OK, this is definitely like that Secret Sisters thing, just with books instead of wine or $10 or whatever it was. And I put up a poll on the story. And I mean, most of you guys thought it was a scam on NATC Pod Instagram. Most of you guys were like, this is definitely a scam. Some people were like weirdly gunning for this book exchange. I was like, oh, so you're at the top of this pyramid, I guess. Like, I don't know why you're standing this book exchange. And we shared a lot of responses, which was really cool, of like people who'd done it. Some people had good results. A lot of people sent out a book and never got one in return. So, which sucks. So I guess like I'll just kind of briefly go through again why this is a scam, because basically the book club requests that you get at least 6 people to participate in a book exchange. You buy one of your favorite books and you send it to one person and you will receive approximately 36 books back.
That's wow. Also like, who has the room?
I mean, yeah, I barely have the room. I don't even need this. I don't need 36 books. My mom is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You have too many books. And no, I won't get a Kindle.
Ooh.
I won't. I don't know why. I do know why. It's because I like having a physical book.
Well, because when you're on the subway too, like, well, back in commute days, I always love, like, I would have a book, not even reading it, just so people would be like, okay, all right, he has a master's degree. Like, I felt really educated with it.
So people think I'm smart and then they don't talk to me. It's perfect. 10 out of 10 for books. Okay, so basically the U.S. Postal Service says that these types of exchanges are a chain letter and they're illegal if they request money or other items of value and promise a substantial return to the participants. So again, like sending one book, getting 36 back, that's a chain letter. It's a scam. It's a form of gambling. Also, sending it through the mail, we've talked about this, is like extra dicey because the mail is always how they catch you. It's just not good. Don't do your schemes over the mail.
Yeah, don't. And the USPS is busy. Haven't we learned that? Don't tidy up their time with your scams.
Yeah. So, and everyone else was like, have they heard about libraries? So, I mean, the bottom line is like, if you want to do a book club, do a book exchange, do it with your friends. That's cool. Make it a closed circle. Totally fine. We have no qualms about that. Get a library card. I sound like Arthur, but that's kind of that on the book exchange.
That is so funny you bring that up too, because I feel like we are reaching the 2020 decade of like the next 10 years is going to be a big resurgence of like things coming back, people paying for things coming back in fashion that they shouldn't have to pay for. Like, oh, a book club, like that's called a library. And these restaurants where it's like, oh, they lay out all the ingredients and you just make it in front of yourself. I'm like, that's a kitchen.
Yeah. I pay not to do that. Like, what do you mean?
I'm like, no, I'm going to sit at a restaurant so I don't have to dice an onion. Not so I like to pay $75 to chop a carrot. It's not in my wheelhouse, not my journey.
To like assemble my tacos. Like, no.
No, I don't know how to do it. They always fall apart. That's why I need to go.
Exactly. So just don't fall for holiday scams, guys. Like, if you're going to send one thing and magically get many more things, it's going to be a scam. Like someone, even if it's not you, somebody down the line is getting screwed over by this. So just don't do it. Do a Secret Santa with your friends or your coworkers.
Yeah. Do a Secret Santa. I'm now like, I feel like I woke up like, I think 4 days ago to like 95 times. I'm in like Elfsters now. I don't even know what Elfster is, but I'm just like,
what is it?
it's like you set up a Secret Santa with your friends. So like that's like the site for it. It does feel like a scam because I'm like, why am I putting my address into elfster.com?
Wait, I got emails from them and I was like, I don't think I signed up for this, so I unsubscribed, but shit.
People were probably trying to do a Secret Santa with you.
Whoops.
Well,
that's fine.
You know what? You don't, but that's my other thing. I'm like, don't send me, I'm like, just Venmo me if you really want to get, like, just you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what I want. Right. I want nothing.
Right. I also just realized that Hanukkah is like next week and I've bought one present maybe. So I was like, oh shit. I should have been smart during like Black Friday, but now everyone's getting it on the last day of Hanukkah is probably what's going to happen.
Well, I like that. It's like the big reveal. You're teasing it. You're like, hey guys, I have a secret project. It's your gift.
Yeah, it's nice because I get a very loose deadline. So
that actually is a nice bonus point of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
It's like 3 to 7 business days. You're like, that's when your gift comes.
Like pretty much.
3 to 7 high holy days. You're like, honey, it'll come when it comes. I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of holy, sort of, or maybe the opposite. I don't know.
I mean, a church is involved in a sense.
Yeah.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
So we're going to get into today's topic, which is the death of Jeanette DePalma. Danny, I feel like you have a not like a personal connection, but like sort of.
I have a personal connection in the sense of a New Jersey connection, which is like anybody. And I feel like this kind of could be a universal thing with like people's moms, but especially in Jersey, a mom will call you, be like, do you remember like the DeLarmo family? And you're like, who? Like the DeLarmos. Like the kid was 3 years older than you, went to high school, had a sister. And I'm like, what? Like, good family, 5 blocks down. And then you finally realize like, oh yeah, I know them. They're like, oh, dad passed away. And I'm like, why did I just have to connect for to get this sad news? So in that sense, I know the New Jersey, I know them. But because like this was a story that it happened a little bit like when my mom was like a teenager. So like everyone in her town of New Jersey in New Jersey talked about it. It was big conversation in New Jersey. Everyone was like terrified because they were like cults, witches, it's all happening, but maybe not so much. So we'll get into it. So it's Jeanette DePalma. She was born in Jersey City on August 3rd, 1956. Shout out to a Leo. But she soon moved to Springfield, New Jersey, which is near where I grew up, Union County. Her family was very serious, like with their religion. They were Christians and very devoted to it. They went to this born-again Christian church called the Assembles God Evangelical Church, which like it's a lot of name.
I feel like all these church names are just like bad libs.
I'm pretty sure I'm near in New Jersey. I'm near where my mom lives now. There's a church called like the Blood of a Nun. And I'm like, is that a church?
Wait, I was about to use this as an example because there's this church near where I live called, it's called like, oh my God, like Holy Blood Church or something like that. Fuck, let me Google it. But yeah,
I'm like,
it's like the Church of Sacred Blood or something very, it sounds very like Satan-y.
It's like Satan meets a Tampax commercial. I don't really know what's going on with it.
It's so weird. Whereas like the temples, I feel like you have like 5 names and then it's like, oh, you could have a Temple Emmanuel in like any city in the world. And that's it. You choose from like 6 of these names.
I was going to say, I feel like every time I've passed like a Jewish temple, it's Temple Emmanuel.
Like, right?
So they were in this church with this crazy name or this long name we'll go with, where she did also Christian outreach work, where she was kind of like, and with that was trying to get people to come see the light of Jesus, join the group chat of Jesus, I guess, as you will.
That should be like Hillsong Church's slogan. I feel like it would be that.
Okay. On the real show, I took over Carl Lentz's position. I would get kicked out immediately, but like, I don't know. Could be a fun day.
I don't think you'd have an affair with anyone.
That's true, but I would just be like, Hailey Bieber, let's get brunch. I feel like she'd be down for that, actually. But because of what the church and kind of just the vibe they gave off and just kind of the way their town is, a lot of people viewed them as quote unquote Jesus freaks.
Where is the lie?
I mean, like that. But then a few days after her 16th birthday, Monday, August 7th, 1972, she told her mom that she was going to go to a friend's house and was just going to go hang out there type of situation. Was going to take the train.
I thought she was going to hitchhike to the friend's house.
Well, that's the weird thing. She told the mom she was going to hitchhike to a train to the friend's house. And then I kept on trying to see if that was true. Cause I'm like, would a mom be okay with it? Like, would a mom of like,
I mean, it was the 70s.
I guess that's a thing. Cause I was like, you can't like, I guess you can't walk there. Cause she was going to Summit, I want to say. And that is a long commute, but still hitchhiking just for that is bizarro, but
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But, didn't matter because she never showed up to her friend's house. And on top of that, she never came back home. So obviously a missing persons report was filed. I'm sure obviously 24 hours later, as they are always doing, which never, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but always confuses me on SVU.
Who knows?
Who knows? So this all happened in August 7th. So no signs of her, no nothing. There was really no trace of where they could find her or where she went to or what she was up to. A lot of people had hope that her family was even hopeful that she just like ran away to New York and was starting a new life there. I guess in the 70s, everyone's like, New York, great. Like people just, I guess, ran and started new lives there. Haven't we all?
Yeah.
But right. Unfortunately, this was not the case because the first sign of a missing body was on September 19th of the same year, 1972. When a dog brought a missing arm to a nearby
apartment. It was like a decomposed arm.
It was truly the dog, like if the dog was able to carry it, it was like, yeah, fully disintegrated, decomposed.
Ugh.
And because of that arm, they were able to start a search in like a more concentrated area to kind of like track the dog where it came from because the dog can't really travel that super far with an arm. And they did find Jeanette's body on a top of a hill with a rock formation around her body. And this was 6 weeks after she first went missing. So over a month later.
Crazy. And then like, I don't know. We'll get into this whole rock formation.
Yeah. It's like truly, you know, like as Beyonce would say in Formation, you know, you that bitch when you cause all this conversation, this rock formation caused.
Like, are you talking about the rock or the woman? Oh boy.
Dwayne the Rock, he was there. No one was confused. Also with this hill, it was so steep that a fire truck had to retrieve the body, and the body was pretty decomposed at this point because it's been over 6 weeks. Maybe those 6 weeks she was there the entire time. And the remains had no evidence though of bone fractures, bullet wounds, or stab wounds. And also there was no paraphernalia around the body, like no drugs or alcohol. So they seemingly, because of this, ruled out that she was like partying, going wrong type of situation. Even though I think a little bit afterwards they were like, oh, I guess people could move a Smirnoff bottle and it would.
Yeah. It doesn't take like a criminal mastermind to be like, let's clean up.
Yeah, exactly. So she was identified through dental records because of how decomposed her body was, according to the medical examiner's report. And there were stains found in her underwear, bra, and blouse, and also her pants, but they were, quote unquote, too decomposed for conclusive blood and semen examinations from the crime lab report. This is, they get into this later because it is an issue of complaint.
Yeah.
And also because of how decomposed her body was, they couldn't even perform like a proper autopsy because they had to identify her only through dental records. They couldn't really find out that much more about what happened to her body.
Yeah, they really couldn't do much testing. Also, again, this is the 70s, so there was like no forensic science. Like, it was in its infancy. I read in an article that I don't even think the term serial killer had been coined at this point.
No, yeah, it was, and it, I think it was starting to just around this time, because, or looking back, they kind of started to jump on it because there was an idea of that kind of playing into it. But exactly.
Right, but I mean, it wasn't known in the lexicon that serial killers existed. We talk about this, but it was like one of those times where you could like just free bleed on a crime scene and be fine. Like
there were no true crime podcasts around to like get them in check.
We would get to the bottom of it.
That's also the crazy thing. I feel like in the 70s, like I feel like the medical examiner was like fully lighting a joint, just being like, hey, who put this body here? It's just like,
yeah, I mean, it's like that John Mulaney bit where he's like, there's blood next to the body. Gross. Like,
that is so, truly, this is how this case went down. So there also was no arrest for her death, and at least publicly, no major leads were reported. There was only one case of a homeless man who we'll touch on. And also, her cause of death was written as strangulation, but that even that wasn't totally confirmed because they really couldn't do that much with her body because it was so decomposed. So maybe there were marks around her neck, but that could have just been from decomposition or some type of force or anything like that. And so kind of what we were saying, they just kind of looked at her clothes and was like, welp. So they really didn't do that much intel into it. With that too, the case obviously ended up going cold because the police couldn't nail a consistent lead. They couldn't find any new evidence besides her body. The closest thing they got to for a little bit was this homeless man that went by Red, who was in the area, but he was ruled out because he was just like, he was being able to be identified not near that at the time. So here's what happened, or here's what are thought to happen. And just as a little tidbit for how batshit Jersey can get, if you guys remember episode from a few months ago, John List, the Westfield guy with the stained glass who was crazy, that case was a year before this.
Yeah. The weird thing about this one is like, I kept reading comments that like, I mean, this kind of reminded me of like how you said that you knew about this case growing up, like your mom warned you about it. Because people are afraid to talk about this. It's so scary to them, which I don't really get, but it's like so frightening to them that like people won't talk about it. Nobody would go on the record to like all these publications. People would only send in anonymous tips.
That's what's so weird, because everyone was just radio silent, because I don't know if it's like, and that's when you get the question, is everyone really afraid of witches? Is everyone really not want to be afraid of Jesus? Or do a lot of people know things that they
right
don't
and then you're
say?
Too afraid of like the person who did it finding out that you blabbed?
Exactly.
I don't know. So one theory is that a cult did it. I feel like that's every episode of Criminal Minds is like, they find a gruesome murder. The first theory or the local cops theory is always a satanic cult. But this time that was really their theory. And there is maybe some evidence to point that way. So this was the most, and this was like a theory that became increasingly popular during the coverage of this case. And it was started because it was alleged that cult related symbols were found around the body. We don't know specifically what those are.
That's what I don't like. Is that a circle? Like, because I feel like anything could kind of be a cult-related symbol.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense why they wouldn't tell you what the symbols are.
Oh, that's
true. It makes sense why they wouldn't release that information, because like they're probably holding on to that to like trap whoever did it.
Yeah.
So also people said that Jeanette was placed on a makeshift altar in the woods and in a coffin-shaped structure made from fallen branches and logs. That made it look like she was covered in a bunch of crosses. So big what the fuck there.
Oh, spooky as shit.
Spooky. And then also on top of this, like that hill that she was found on, or that part of the reservation, which is like a natural park or like a national park, I think. Not national. Well, I Googled it. It's called like the Watchung Reservation.
Yeah, it's the Watchung Reservation.
Is it a reservation? And then I was like, no, it's a park.
Yeah, that's what it's. They just call a lot of places reservations or
entrances. Yeah, that was misleading. Anyway, so she was found in this area called the Devil's Teeth, which is like really creepy. Like, look it up. It is very just creepy looking.
It's terrifying.
And then apparently there would like randomly be like dead animals and stuff hanging from trees. Like, just very, very creepy area. Also, apparently around this time, there was a local cult of teenage witches who promised to abduct and kill a child. Like, okay.
Kind of like, besides the whole abduct and kill a child, I'm obsessed with them. Yeah. And also, like, now it's kind of, I feel like they would just be called modern day, like the scene kids from your high school in 2007 that like drank Starbucks with the skinny jeans. I'm talking to myself.
I know. To me, right? To me, it seems like very like pregnancy pact-esque, but I suppose the opposite.
Yeah, if you flipped it and reversed it, as Miss Yelly would say.
Yeah, exactly. Also, this cult was called the Witches, so
which I'm obsessed with.
Original.
That's them just being like, okay, what should we put on our notebook? Well, we're witches, so the witches.
Yeah, they just finished like the Roald Dahl like lesson in school, I guess. And we're like, all right, let's go with it. And also, of course, like every media outlet ate this theory up. I mean, it is incredibly juicy.
Juicy.
So I see why they would run with it. We know how the media likes to operate. But like, obviously the police weren't jumping onto this theory that much. Also because like they couldn't find any witches to arrest. So then it kind of went cold until this independent magazine called Weird New Jersey started covering it. And honestly, shouts out to them. They're pretty cool.
They also, if anybody, I mean, I think there's a lot. I think every state, I think, has a weird subject of this. But anybody from New Jersey knows Weird New Jersey was your obsession in middle school, high school.
Really?
And you would all drive over that. You would drive over that hill to see if you saw the devil when you went on the hill. There was like a bump in the road. It's so insane.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
It really is crazy.
So one of the writers for the magazine, Mark Moran, claimed the police threw out all the documents and then the case went cold. The police say that all the documents were destroyed in a flood. Some people think they were intentionally destroyed. So I don't know.
By ghosts?
By witches. By ghosts?
Yeah, why? I don't know.
I mean, take that with a grain of salt, I guess. So Weird New Jersey published this article asking people for information about the case. And like, I read that people were writing in like anonymous letters and like all these tips came flooding in. And I read the article of the follow-up with the tips.
Oh, but yeah.
None of these people would go on the record. So, I mean, it was just things like, oh, I know who did it. And like, I don't know, just weird, vague stuff.
The hard thing too, because obviously it's like anytime you get a tip line, I feel like, or like from what I've seen or read about, it just gets overflowed with all these people like, who's writing in just to write in to be like a fucking like think they're smart and funny, who's writing in because they actually know something, and who's writing in just because they think they know something because of something they saw that is not
And then a lot of these letters would just be like either typed or handwritten, but in blank envelopes with no return address. So how do you really follow it up at all?
Literally.
I don't know. He and a few other people from, I think one other guy from Weird New Jersey, ended up publishing a book about it called Death on Devil's Teeth. Looks pretty good. There's a trailer for the book.
I watched the trailer. I was like, should I binge this book in a day? And I was like, I can't. I physically can't do that.
I was like, it also won't arrive in time. I thought of this like 2 days ago.
No, I know. Exactly. And there was like, because they had other, they theorized about like a lot of things too that I'm like, oh, this all sounds interesting. But I'm like, how much of this is just their opinions of stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. So one theory of how this cult rumor started was a detective from the Times said it started after other law enforcement officials were radioed and then they began climbing the devil's teeth. And apparently one guy noticed some rock or some like stones around her head and all that. And he made a remark that it looked like Satan stuff. So it's possible that like some guy's offhanded comment just really spread like wildfire and inspired this theory. Who knows? And one other thing to note is, and her, one of Jeanette's friends said this too. Basically the theory that she just like went on a walk and like died up there doesn't really work because she was wearing flip-flops and it would have been impossible to climb up the devil's teeth. So that's what,
yeah. And people were even saying too, like, not only that, like because of the intensity of it, even like the flip-flops, and also like from how someone who's not skilled at climbing, someone would have had to carry her up there.
Yeah. That's creepy. So that detective assumed it was like drugs or an overdose.
But then it's also, because then
really
I kind of
cracked out to climb up a creepy hill like that.
That's what, like when I get drunk, I roll down. I don't roll.
Yes.
I'm not like, I don't have the ability to do any of that. And then that kind of goes into like the a little theory down the line too. But it's also insane that, because I was reading a lot of what you're doing too, like on the Weird New Jersey, a lot of people were submitting that Jeanette wasn't as like religious as she gave to be. She
that was a thing. Like people were like, oh, she would go to parties and stuff, and there was like some guy who was in love with her.
Well, we'll get into that with the Jesus movement. because here's some more theorized. Well, the first one, this theory is just a little bit of like an aside, because kind of what Sarah said, they did not know what serial killers were back then, but they were linking in hindsight, kind of thinking that there was another killing that happened in Montvale, New Jersey. These two girls were, you've heard of it?
Yeah, why have I heard of it? Did we do a case there? Or did I just date someone from there?
Well, if you dated someone there, we'll probably do a case on it in a minute. Like,
probably a serial killer.
Montvale. You're like, he's a dick.
Yeah.
So in 1974, these two were murdered. But this theory kind of got thrown out and debunked relatively fast because the two girls were found like beaten, assaulted, strangled, and no signs of that happened with Jeanette, even though, I mean...
But also, like, how do we really know if they couldn't even determine how she died? Like, there were stains and stuff in her pants, right? So, I don't know.
That's what I don't get. Like, so much of it was, like, deteriorated, so they couldn't really get any facts on that, but I guess they just debunked, because I think with that, too, they're like, well, why was she brought up to all this stuff and things like that?
I don't know. I mean, that's creepy. Talk about the Jesus movement?
Oh, yes, I talk about the Jesus
movement. Okay, excellent.
Because I did not totally know what this was, and now I'm like...
I didn't find this in really the articles that I had read.
Well, because it's so interesting, because people only... It's on, I think it was like centralnj.com. I read an article
okay.
And people... So it's Jersey local, so grain of salt with your pepper, your ketchup,
no,
your
pork. No, I feel like that means it's good.
It's more
like
legit.
People, yes, on the exactly. ground.
It's on the ground. It's on the boots reporting.
Yes, so, bootstrap. Whatever.
This kind of goes into track of what people were thinking it could maybe be have something to do with being related to drugs, but also at the time were like some crazy drugs were going on. So the Jesus movement, her murder happened around the peak of this in the 1970s. And I started Googling what the Jesus movement was. So this is sort of after like the Summer of Love, you know, Summer of 69, Janis Joplin, like all like the fun, like if you've ever been to San Francisco, like those Street of Hate Ashbury, or basically that, where you're just smoking weed, licking armpits, having the time of your goddamn life. You know, do I know if an armpit was licked there? No. Do I assume?
Yeah. Yes, but ew. But you know what? In these times, sure, I would lick someone's armpit, I guess.
I was going to say, bitch, I would lick a street pole. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's kind of, oh my God, that reminded me of the Christmas story when like he licked the street pole.
Yes.
I triple dog.
If it would make COVID go away, I'll lick a street pole.
I would too. Yeah. You know, I would take one for the team for that. Okay. So it was a combo in the late 60s, early 70s. This combo started a very hippie style and evangelical Christianity.
Oh my God, that is so lame. I'm just imagining, like, you know how all these things that, like, you know, try to make Christianity like cool and trendy, like all the Christian rock songs and like how do you do, fellow Christians type stuff. I mean, like Hillsong, like
that's true.
It's kind of like, this is funny to me, I'm sorry.
It very is. It's like, hey you I got a new Bible. Like Avril really could jump in this market. She does.
Oh,
do
that is here and there. a good song. You should write into someone.
Maybe I'm pivoting to Hillsong in 2021. Here's the thing, I don't know either. But then I was kind of confused with this because I'm like, how the fuck do those two groups go together? Because you kind of think they're opposite.
Yeah, it seems like oil and water.
Truly. But they have a common bond over the idea of like rejecting materialism and like consumerism and capitalism, all those things. Like as I'm like ordering on like Etsy right now or Amazon. But they were both so against that. They were like, why... America has become so idealized with like the materials that people buy. The hippies didn't like it because they want to just travel light, and the Christians didn't like it because they're like, Jesus doesn't care about that stuff. And they also bonded over drugs. So
yes, there we go.
I feel like that's where the lines come together. So with this though, in the 70s, as you can tell from any like Mad Men even, the hippie vibe started to mellow out. And people were more so turning evangelical, but also still had the hippie undertones with it. And this is kind of around the time, too, that her family started attending the church, Assembly of God Evangelical Church. And that was their vibe there. And also with that, I was reading that some of the kids also had that mindset in mind, because they were these kids that were being raised in this religious setting, but also had the, like, in the back of their head, these ideas of, like, drugs, free love, boom, 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 coming together. So that's what the grain of salt. The other thing with this, though, is that Jeanette's mom does not love the idea that drugs were involved with pushing anything or like that, because she's...
I mean, of course she doesn't like that.
Of course, which is very...
Nobody wants to admit their kid does drugs. I'm not saying she did. I'm just saying.
Exactly. That is so true. It's like when you go to the doctor, like, no, I have 2 drinks a week.
Yeah, literally.
I actually always lie to my... I mean, I always tell the truth with my doctor.
I don't think I've ever told them, like, yeah, I'll have 10 drinks a week and 8 of those will be on one Friday.
I'm full on. I'm like, does that mean I'm going to die? They're like, no, just learn to, like, budget your money and your drinks and your time and your weight. And I'm like, thank you. And then I pick up my high prescription. Jeanette's mom just said that she was only hanging out with these kids in part of the church to help bring more people to find Jesus. And she was also helping out. Sure, Jan.
Like, I'm not doing the drugs. I'm just hanging out with the kids who are doing the drugs so that I can show them the light. I mean, that's a good spin.
That's a good save. You're like, no, I'm not high.
Save that.
I'm high on God's love.
There we go. That's what they probably were calling the drugs.
Oh my God, true. this case also made me want to rewatch the movie Saved, but that's...
Wait, yeah.
That shit is fucking good.
Strong Mandy Moore vibes.
Love her. So that's why she was saying that any of the kids that she was hanging out with that could have been a little bit on the more hippier side, she was just helping them see the light.
Of course. Of course.
You see the light. That's why you like date a drug dealer in high school, to help them see the light. The pastor and her pastor of this church also heavily believed and promoted the idea that it was a cult. I guess, obviously.
The pastor of the church promoted that the church was a cult?
No. The pastor of the church promoted that the theory that Jeanette was...
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that was a little thing. And I think it was kind of to be like, there's satanic people out there. Go, come to church. We'll save you.
Oy.
Type of shebang. Here is a part of the cookie that no one talks about that I'm interested about.
Yes.
So this pastor had a son who dated Jeanette. And they broke up a week before her disappearance.
Okay.
What?
Hello?
Like, hello fresh. I mean, like, what the fuck?
That's nuts, because I read like 5 articles and not one. The only thing that mentioned a guy she was dating was like these anonymous letters at Weird New Jersey.
That's where I was like, none of it was coming up. And I was like, okay, what the, like, this is kind of weird. Then centralnj.com comes through with this fact, because it was like her friend from high school laid this down. And I'm like, well, why aren't we checking on this?
Whoa, that's interesting.
It is really bizarre, because I feel like also it's kind of insane too. I feel like we always do this when you look back at cases from like the past, the 70s, 60s or whatever, you're always like, wait, wouldn't this be the slam dunk now? Sort of like, spoiler alert, The Undoing, like kind of, we're like, wait, okay.
Hey,
this...
I'm on the last episode.
Oh.
So no spoilers, but
what if I
like, do think we should do an episode on it.
I will so do an episode.
We should do a wait what. That'll be fun.
Okay, yeah, I'm happy that I gave it a lot of my Sundays. I'll say that.
Yes, okay, I binged it all in like 2 days. I have a lot of thoughts, but okay, I'll save it for our episode. Stay tuned, friends. Okay,
we're staying tuned for that. And then that's what I was gonna say. It's like one of those things where like, don't you just like, how is no one looking at this person that she used to date that was involved with the church, that knows all these people, knows everyone in her life?
Well, I mean, to be fair, like the thing is, we don't know like what the police investigated or didn't. And so it's possible that they cleared him and he has some like rock solid alibi. Like, we don't know that he was or wasn't investigated or interviewed or anything like that.
Exactly. That's true. Okay. Yeah. But it's still so crazy that it doesn't get talked about more.
Yes. That is a real sketchy connection for sure. And there are kind of some updates. I mean, so this guy named Ed Salzano, who was 10 when Jeanette died, didn't really know her, but has now become very vocal in trying to reopen the case. I mean, Ed, start a podcast. You know?
I almost was like, should we message him to come on?
Honestly, why not?
But like, I feel like he would have things to say.
Yeah, like, I don't know why he took this on as his like cause, but he did. He apparently like moved near the reservoir, and he was also a PI in New York. So I think he like retired and was like, all right, cool, I'm going to devote all my time to this now, which... respect.
I mean, I like that he is just kind of like, let me get involved with it, because he obviously has the expertise of investigating.
Right. It's like what I thought would happen with us when we started when we started doing this podcast, and then I was like, wait, I have no investigative training or know-how at all.
I'm like, I feel like I get duped more by things.
Legit. But luckily, Ed is a professional. He's on the case. He filed a lawsuit in June asking a superior court judge to compel the Union County Prosecutor's Office to do DNA testing on the clothes. And he says it's solvable. There are people out there who know what happened. He said this last week. Apparently, the state is refusing to test the DNA. Why, though?
That's fishy to me. I feel like it's kind of like, okay, so what is getting covered up here then?
To me, it's weird because every article I read like talked about how scared everyone is from this murder. Well, which I think is a murder. And so I have to think that there's something deeper than like just like 70s cult panic.
That's what I'm feeling too. And also that the prosecutor's office and everything is just so matter of fact. Like, we'll learn nothing from it. Don't even do it. Like, why? Why?
And then all the files getting mysteriously lost in a flood is a little bit sus. But it could have happened because you said there was it Hurricane Floyd in 1999?
Yeah.
So it's possible.
So I mean, that's the thing. Obviously, that is true. And New Jersey, Union County does get hit hard by hurricanes. Mm. But also at the same time, I mean, I guess all the files stay in the basement, but there wasn't a backup of like writing on paper, more paper or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird. Do you have any theories? I the thing is like there's so little info that I don't even feel like I have a theory. I mean, the boyfriend is interesting.
The boyfriend is interesting to me, but I do kind of feel like, and I mean, I guess, well, I also feel like this is why hitchhiking stopped being a thing. Where yeah. It's like kind of weird. She was just like this like young girl who just turned 16, was going to hitchhike, was near a reservoir. I don't know. That kind of just feels like it's one of the things where it sounds like almost too simple and early on in the case story of it. But I feel like sometimes that is what happens. And also it's one of those things where it's just like, is awful. And now, and you've heard so many horror stories about hitchhiking, especially in the 70s, that now people.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is too, like it would be one thing if she was just found killed, but the whole, like, everything that came after that is just super weird.
That is,
like, the positioning and these symbols, allegedly, and, like, this coffin-like structure, allegedly. I don't know. It's very weird.
Well, that's the thing that's weird, A, because is it culty? But, B, people knew everyone was afraid of cults in this town and in this area. So what a way.
Yeah. Like it could have just been someone doing it.
Well, then you wonder then too, with everything being covered up, was it a police officer who she hitchhiked from who was off duty? And
interesting.
You know?
Interesting. I don't know. It's kind of sad because I feel like so much of the evidence is just like degraded or
true,
non-existent. And who knows if this will ever really get solved. I hope that they can at least try to run the DNA.
I'm hopeful for what Ed Salzano got going. I feel like he has nothing to lose, got nothing but time, especially in a pandemic. Yeah. Ed is on the case.
He's a retired PI on the case with nothing to lose and a personal connection.
I kind of want to like just like listen to his stories, like hear PI stories about like New York too.
Yeah, 100%.
Wait, did you have any superstitions that were like things like this in your hometown?
No.
Wow, is New Jersey just like
I'd have to Google it because I never knew very much about like the history of my town. I mean, we have the Great Gatsby and like F. Scott Fitzgerald, but nothing. I'd have to look it up. I mean, I'm sure someone got killed, but like, I don't know off the top of my head.
Like weird New Jersey. I remember having the book and reading it and being like so terrified, but so fascinated.
Nice.
And it's just like, there was like, so all the things are like, so much of it is like abandoned hospitals or like roads that when you like turn really fast, you see like a hanging body or something like that.
What? Oh my God. Yeah. No, I feel like I just did the whole like the Bloody Mary, those types of things. Not that I did it, but I was too scared to do it.
I don't think I ever did that because I was like, that bitch is tired. Why do I need, I don't need her to come here. I'm like, Mary needs a rest.
No, I never tried it because I was too scared that she would come.
Oh, Yeah, I don't want to, but that's also my thing. I don't fuck with shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, now I think I would because I got nothing to lose.
That, well, also, well, what if she has COVID?
Ugh.
I don't want a bitch up here. She's going to all these motherfuckers' bathrooms. I don't want Mary in my bathroom. I'd be like 6 feet away, baby. Then you can haunt me with a mask and gloves.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. Definitely weird. I'll have to look up. I'll look up to see if there's any local Great Neck murder mysteries.
Because I get into that. I mean, with the name alone, I feel like there is something there. I get so.
Someone's got to be like a slasher of sorts.
Rabbit hole. And what I would love to, because I feel like these urban legends and folklore, Taylor Swift, get passed around so much in like your hometown. I need DMs to NATC Pod about your hometown, like spooky, scary story that's like universally talked to everybody. Or you put it in the Facebook group, not another true crime group, because I am obsessed with reading about them.
Yeah, definitely do that. And you can also follow us there for fun true crime memes. You could follow me on Insta, Sarah Lameme.
You could follow me at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K. And if you want to ride out 2020 with like, in lieu of having us join a book club or anything like that, you can just give us 5 stars on
there we go.
iTunes, Apple Music, whatever it's called. We would love that.
Yeah, we'll give you 5 stars back somehow. Yeah. We'll just drop you 5-star emojis in the chat, but you know what?
If any of you got a business,
36 stars back, the only pyramid scheme that's going to work.
There we go. And if any of you have a business on Yelp that needs 5 stars, DM me that link. I'll give you a glowing review.
Oh, true. You know
this
what?
This works both ways.
Yeah. And please give us a review wherever you're listening to us. And thank you guys so much for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Betches.